Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Lee Shaw. I'm the downtown campus pastor of Houston's First Baptist Church, and welcome to High Point Bible Study. Today we're going to talk about the love of God. And you've gotten some love through barbecue, right? How's that barbecue today? Excellent. Well, let me pray for us as we begin. If you're chewing, keep chewing. And you can keep your eyes open if you'd like as I pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the author of love. We thank you that you are our creator, you are our sustainer, you are the God of the universe, and we love you today. God, as I read your word and as I present an unpacking of your word about your love, God, would you speak through me? Let my flesh get out of the way so that your spirit can speak through me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, if you'll take your Bibles, if you have it, or your mobile devices, and tap to 1 John, the book of 1 John, we're going to be in chapter 4. If you have a mobile device without a Bible app, you can also point any web browser to 1 John, the number 1, J-O-H-N, dot Bible, and just hit return, and you'll pull up 1 John. We also have the scripture on the screens. And this will be the best part of my message today, the reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 4, oh, and this is, it's on your handout as well, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, this is how we know that we remain in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and we testify that the Father who has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe that God, to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother or sister. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, what are we motivated by today? I know many of us go to our jobs motivated by a sense of making a living for us and providing for our families. Or many of us go to our jobs today because we want to be our best. Many of us choose to do the things that we do for pleasing others or for recognition or for power or for money. And any of those things by themselves are not evil whatsoever. They're not bad motives in and of themselves. They're neutral things. But I want to suggest to you that our primary motive, the supreme motive of our lives, what should compel us is the love of God and God himself. Let's look at this scripture and unpack it with 6 points. And you usually have handouts with blanks. Today, we give you a freebie. You've got the blanks already filled in. So if these seats are really comfortable, feel free to take a nap, and we'll pray that the Spirit of God will subconsciously put his word and my words that he has given to me into your brain. This is High Point summer style. So first, God is love. God is love and the author of love. It starts out by saying, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love." I love how it starts out with "dear friends." Anybody read the old King James Bible, the King James Version? A few of y'all do. Excellent. I love the King James Version because it's so poetic. In the King James Version, and also in the ESV, the English Standard Version, or the NASB, New American Standard Bible of this scripture, 1 John 4:7, it renders it this way: "Beloved, let us love one another." In the original Greek, it's so poetic as well. Agapetoi agapomen. Literally, "Beloved, let us love one another." Si hablas español, if you speak Spanish, the Spanish Bible renders it "amados, amémonos." Those who are loved, let us love one another. I have another version of the Bible. It's called the TXV, the Texan version. And it goes like this: "Now y'all who are loved, now all y'all go on loving." And the TXV is so accurate to the original Greek. Because sometimes in the Bible, you read the English "you," and you don't know if it's talking about us, talking about one person in the Bible, if it's talking about a group of people like the Israelites or the disciples or the Gentiles or the Jews. You don't know what the "you" is for. But break this Greek out, and the "you" is all y'all. It's like John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, for God so loved all y'all, all of us, that he gave his one and only son." So those who are loved, all y'all who are loved, now let us love one another. The scripture also says that love comes from God. And so God is the author of love. If you're a Christ follower and you're trying to share the gospel with somebody, you don't have to hit them up by saying, "Brother, are you saved?" Or, "Sister, did you know you're a sinner?" You can start by asking them, "Would you like to know what I know? Can I share with you about the author of love?" God is the author of love. And God is love, the scripture says. There's only three other parts of the Bible where it says God is something. The scripture says God is spirit. It says God is light. And it says God is a consuming fire. And of course, it says God is love. So God is love and the author of love. Secondly, this love is revealed and demonstrated in the person of Jesus. God's love is revealed and demonstrated in Jesus. Verse 9 says, "God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him." Love consists in this: not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In the NIV, the New International Version, it says, "God showed his love among us." God showed his love among us. So God did not just love us intellectually, thinking, "Okay, I plan to love my creation through my son Jesus." God did not just love us emotionally. It's not a romantic emotion, but it is an affectionate emotion that he has for us. But if he loved us only intellectually and emotionally, but not by action, then Jesus would not have gone to die on the cross, and we would all go to hell. So God loves us not only intellectually, not only in his mind and in his heart, but he loves us by his hands, and we are to love one another by our hands. There are many secular songs that talk about showing one's love versus just saying it, walking our walk instead of just talking our talk. And so Sam Felt has this song called "Show Me Love," and if you may want to write down these lyrics, if you have teenage kids, you'll impress them. The lyrics go like this: "Heartbreaks and promises, I've had more than my share. I'm dying of giving my love and getting nowhere, nowhere. It's been so long since I touched a wanting hand. I can't put my love on the line that I hope you'll understand. So baby, if you want me, you've got to show me love. Words are so easy to say, but you've got to show me love." It's all about showing. It's all about showing God's love. Not just thinking, not just feeling. And so verse 9 says, this is how God revealed his love, demonstrated his love among us. He sent his one and only Son so that we may live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us by sending his Son as an atoning sacrifice. What does that word atoning sacrifice mean? Well, sacrifice, yes. Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for our sins. Atonement, that's a big kind of churchy or Christian-y word. Atonement is the process of acting or paying for one's sins. And Christianity is the only religion where we don't have to strive to atone for our own sins. Jesus Christ has done that for us. And even the English word atonement comes from two words, very simply, at one. At one. Atonement. By Jesus Christ dying on the cross and us accepting him as our Lord and Savior, we become at one, finally, unified with God the Father through Jesus Christ and him alone. Thirdly, in this passage, we take that God's love is reliable. God's love is reliable. Verse 15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. There it is again. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. So the word to rely here is also rendered have believed in other versions. The New Living Translation puts it, have put our trust on. And it's from the word, the Greek word, pistuo. That happens in the Bible 248 times. It's the same word that's in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, whoever trusts, whoever relies, whoever puts our whole weight upon Jesus will not perish, will not be separated from God for an eternity, but have eternal life with God for eternity, with him in heaven. It's also the same word from Acts 16:31. The Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Trust, believe, rely, put your whole weight upon Jesus, and you will be saved into eternal life. There was a test of my reliance on God through a trial that I suffered. And I'm sure many of you don't just lead happy lives all the time. You've gone through some trials and what the King James Version calls tribulations. About 16 years ago now, I was in business, like many of you. I was climbing the corporate ladder as a corporate recruiter. I was what they call a headhunter. Now I'm a soul hunter. And I was very successful in what I was doing, and I felt like I was on top of the world. I was living in Dallas at the time. My parents were living here in Houston. I was the only child. And mom, dad, and my grandma, actually, who grew up with me up until high school, they were driving from Sugar Land to visit me in Dallas. Kind of close to today, July 14th was the date. And they were taking a road trip up to see me in Dallas, and halfway there, a strong thunderstorm struck, actually in the town of Centerville. And their car somehow turned around, hit a school bus, and all three, mom, dad, and grandma, were all killed in that accident. And you can imagine the devastation that I felt, the grief that I felt. Thank God for police officers. The Dallas Police Department knocked on my door of my apartment in person, they told me. And they were very, very sympathetic to me, very kind. And they told me one by one that they were killed on impact. And of course, I grieved. And I still grieve, mostly on holidays and Mother's Day, Father's Day. That's very hard for me. But at that time, I was a Christian already, and I totally felt God's peace surrounding my heart and my mind. The scripture says, in Philippians 3, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present these requests unto God. In the peace of God, which transcends understanding, which is over my head and your heads, will guard, will surround, will envelop your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I couldn't have told you, if you told me that accident were to happen, or if I were to lose suddenly even one of these people that were so close to my life, I couldn't have told you what I would do to go through it. But God always shows up just when you need him. And the scripture that says he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. It's not just about financial needs. It's about emotional and spiritual and physical and any other need that you and I may have. God's love is reliable. I vividly still feel God's love surrounding me through that accident. And that is the reason why today I am so passionate about sharing the gospel, so that others who don't have this relationship with Jesus can have that as they go through trials. Not if they go through trials, but as they go through the trials of life, they may have this peace with them and this love of God that is so reliable. The fourth thing I gather from this passage is that God's love drives out fear. God's love drives out fear. What fears do you have? Do you have any fears? Any phobias? There's a website. I've got 3 minutes. Wow. There's a website called phobialist.com. And there's 530 fears listed. Some that are very relevant for the Houston summer. Thermophobia is the fear of heat. We all have that. Osmophobia is the fear of smells or odors. That's why you're not sitting next to one another. You've got a lot of chairs in between you. Ablutophobia is the fear of washing or bathing. And I hope none of you have that. And there is Hadephobia, fear of hell. And with Jesus, there is no fear. The scripture says, do not have fear, do not be afraid. It says, have no fear, 366 times in the Bible. One for every day of the year, including leap year. So do not be afraid. God's love drives out fear. Our fear of eternal punishment and our fear of anything. Number five, really quickly here, God's love gives us the capacity to love. Gives us the capacity to love. Most of you are in business. You know the difference between a manufacturer and a distributor. Well, God is the manufacturer of love. So we don't have to worry about or pressure ourselves into manufacturing love so that we can love others. We are to receive God's love and fill up our love tanks so that we can now distribute love to others. And then number six, God's love compels us to love others. Verses 11 and 21. 11 says, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. Verse 21 says, if we have this command from him, the one who loves God must also love his brother or sister. Such powerful word, must. God tells us must. It's not just a command, it's an encouragement. Because God loves us, we must love our spouses, our children, our families, our friends, our coworkers, even our boss who's very hard to love sometimes perhaps, or the person sitting next to you that may be unlovable just one or two days a year. So God's love is the thing that compels us to love others. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. We are glad for your creation. We are glad that you are love and you give us your love. Help us to reflect on how you have demonstrated your love through Jesus. Help us to know that you are the Savior of our lives. Help us to spread that message to others. And help us to really know that you love us so much. And because you love us, then that gives us the capacity and the motivation to love others. So help us do that, Lord. Help us take one step further in loving our families and friends and coworkers and even strangers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you for the rest of the day.